We Talk Podcasts is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. The zombie apocalypse is imminent. Could you survive? You'll have a better chance after completing Geek Nation Tours Zombie Apocalypse Training 101. Learn to fire weapons, scrounge for food, and actually run from zombies. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
Of We Talk Fantasy Football is now on the air and in your ear, as I guess Brett that likes to say that, right, Brett?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I say that all the time. Just like I am the crown prince of charisma.
No, that's me. That's not you. That's me. And anyways, we're back on the air. We're coming off of I think our first losing week of the season.
I think so.
And so, of course, this week we're going to try and, you know, obviously the thing is we've got to try and figure out how do you keep that to being the exception, not the rule? And why was it that this week went wrong? Or is it just one of those things where it just caught up to us? It's bound to catch up to you eventually when you play this many games and you're streaming as often as we are. Certainly injuries and buys were not easy for us this last week. But then again, everybody's dealing with that at this time of the season.
Well, I think the truth is that, you know, sure, everybody's got injuries and everybody's got buys, but the law of averages does state that at some point we're going to have a losing week. We definitely did, but it wasn't a horrific losing week. It wasn't out of six games, you know, we lost four. So it wasn't like we went 0-6 or something like that. I think that, in fairness, you know, I don't know how a couple of the games finished, but they probably were pretty close.
A couple of the games were exceptionally close, and we did go 2-2 in our four money leagues, which is obviously that helps ease the pain a little bit. We're, you know, even those leagues there where we have lost, we're still in the running. You know, everywhere. I think we have one team that's 4-5 on the season. And even they're in the running. Most of the teams, even our teams that are, you know, they're sitting 6-3, 5-4. One team is 7-2. You know, even at 5-4, we're finding that we're usually near the top of the league in scoring, and you know, certainly usually in the top of our division. So I mean, we're in good shape. I'm not sitting there and looking at this last week's losses and thinking, okay, the strategy that we've gone with where we're streaming so heavily in every position is going to kill us. In fact, and if anything, I look at it and, you know, for instance, this week we had a situation where we were looking to, in one league, shore up one position with our tight end, where we're thinking, okay, let's try and find a tight end that we can be solid. And there was a guy out there who was offering Michael Bennett, who is the 11th ranked tight end, so he is a tight end one, but a low tight end one. He's number 13th ranked tight end over the last 4 weeks, and I looked at our numbers as the season has gone on. Our numbers streaming a tight end have increased every week. Like, we are getting better. You know, we're averaging 9 points a game in a PPR in the first 3 weeks, and then it was up to 11 points a game, and now over the last 4 weeks, it's in the next couple of weeks, it was 11 weeks or 11 points a game. Now it's up to last four, it's up to 14.5. And this is because we now have enough of a, I guess you can say enough of a
sample size.
Yeah, a sample size that we can see the trends on who's weak on it. And also we can see who you can stream and who manages, you know, who's actually performing well enough that they can be considered a streamable player, because some guys, even with the right matchup, aren't streamable.
No, absolutely right.
And so, I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, at this point, now if we trade for a guy who's averaging 11 points a game when we're averaging 14.5, yeah, I mean, we're streaming, we're taking a risk. But is he taking a risk also? I mean, are you taking a risk if you're just going with a guy who is going to be inconsistent anyways and might have a good week and then have an off week and is going to end up averaging 11, 12 points a game anyways? And, you know, you and I discussed it and we decided, yeah, okay, this is where we don't make that trade. And the trade was ridiculous anyways, asking for Antonio Brown for, you know, McFadden and Bennett. That was, you know, just crazy. But we could have offered like a John Brown for Bennett, you know, and we would have had the depth to do so. But, you know, we just looked at it and thought, no, this doesn't make any sense for us, right?
Well, we always knew that we could stream. Plus, we had a backup option that we could kind of fall back on because Delanie Walker had been dropped to the waivers, and so the concept was that we would put in a bid for Delanie Walker, see if we got him, and then, you know, that might shore up our tight end position in this case. Or, worst case scenario, we would just wind up streaming. Because, as you said, our streaming was not really the problem. We've made a lot of good decisions. Sometimes you make a poor decision, but, you know, in the last few weeks, we've made nothing but good decisions.
Most of the time we've made, I mean, that's the thing. If you're going to be streaming, you got to be right. You can't be wrong. But on the other hand, as we look at this, we're really, you know, we're right more than we're wrong. And if you follow the stats and follow your guts and kind of break things down, you can do it that way.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody has a bad game. I don't care if you're, you know, Tom Brady's going to have an off game. You know, Antonio Brown has had plenty of off games. You know, the top-ranked players have all had bad games. And the truth is, streaming is no different. There's going to be a bad game or two. But the truth is that at the end of it, when you add up the streaming, you're going to get a much higher total than somebody who just lives on Matt Ryan for the entire season.
Maybe, yeah, most likely. Or maybe you won't, because maybe you'll have a good stream, and but, you know, you won't have the games that go as the guys who go off for 30 or 40 points as often as if you stick with your starters. But I mean, then again, what do you want? Do you want the consistency, or do you want the home run hitters, or what is your strategy? All that needs to be taken into account.
And do you have a choice?
Do you have a choice? Yeah.
We in some leagues, you know, we just don't have a choice anymore. Our starters are those early round picks. They've either busted out or they've gotten injured, and we're completely down to being forced to stream in those leagues.
But what the point I was going to make is if I stream, I could have a bad week. But because I'm not going back to the same guy, because I'm playing a strong matchup again next week, what we're finding is, yeah, we can have a bad week at a position, a tight end or quarterback or any of these positions, even a running back, where we're streaming wide receiver. We're streaming every position at this point.
Yes.
In situations. We can have a bad week, but we don't usually have two bad weeks in a row. Whereas if you're playing Hill, drafting him early, you're having two bad weeks in a row, sometimes three, or even the case that was the case with Brown. If you thought, oh, we got to keep playing Brown even when Landry was in earlier, you know, you're gonna have those bad weeks. And the streaming, what that's doing is the reason I think we're having success is because we're eliminating long stretches where a guy isn't producing, because the odds of, yeah, you're gonna be wrong every now and then when you stream. But you're probably not going to be wrong 3 weeks in a row in a position. It's just because you have enough good players to choose from and enough sample size, and you can see the trends in the NFL, you know, and who's attacking, or, you know, who's weak at protecting what, you know, type of players. Yeah, I mean, that to me is the best part about it.
I think, you know, and Jeremy Hill's a great example, because, I mean, he was a first-round draft pick, and in our one league here, just as an example, I mean, 18 points in week one, 0 points in week two, two in week three, and then he was back for 24, but then he was down to three, Then he was up to 13, and now the last 2 weeks have been 7-6. And the thing is that the 18 points is kind of what we were anticipating out of him. So when we see 7-6, that's actually not a very good, not a very good total, you know, for a guy.
But the other thing about it is there's guys out there that are sitting there going, oh, "Man, I need that 18 points. I don't want to be having him on my bench and sitting him when he goes off for 18 points 2 weeks in a row."
Yeah, he was on the bench for us when he scored 24.
Yeah, and we won that week, you know, because we're not, because it's not about one player. It's like, okay, if you're doing this right, you're going to be playing somebody good, regardless of whether or not he produces. And if you're playing somebody good, even if he's not as good as when, you know, Hill has that great week, you're still probably going to be good enough situation to win. I'd rather be playing somebody who has 18 points and we still win, you know, when Hill scores 24, than to consistently play Hill at 7 points and 6 points when we could be playing somebody at 16 or 18 points and we're losing every week. And if you're holding on to those guys, and so many people do, and so many people complaining about these first round draft picks and everything like that, that's what's killing them. That it's not that those draft picks are killing them. It's that their unwillingness to adapt to the production of that player is what's killing them.
Oh, absolutely. You know, because for us, and I know this was us last year, where when we
absolutely
looked at that, we felt like we were stupid, because it's just like, oh, I can't believe that this guy was on the bench and he scored 24 points. We got to get him in there for the next game, no matter what. He's got now, like, he's got to play. And then he'd reward you with, like, a two-pointer, a, you know, four-pointer, and it really wouldn't have been worth it. But now it's just like, well, you know, he doesn't have the matchup. He's horribly inconsistent. Why am I playing him?
The amount of NFL players this year that are consistent at running back position is so few. You know, Freeman has been consistent. Gurley has been consistent since he's got in there. Peterson has been consistent. You know, but there's so few of them who are consistent week in, week out, and you can really, really count on. So, but what is more consistent is the matchups. They are more consistent than the players. So that's where, you know, again, yeah, we had an off week. I think we're going to bounce back nicely this week. We do have one team now where we lost, you know, Keenan Allen, and we lost Jamal Charles, and that's really tough to overcome. Like, that's a lot to overcome. That team still is 5-4, and is actually leading their division and has a shot at the playoffs still. But it's the type of team where you go, okay, you can make the playoffs, but unless something changes and you get really lucky, how can you ever win a championship? And it's a shame, because that team could have been a team that won us money. And it sucks. But again, it's part of fantasy football. And you have another team where we lost Deion Lewis, who had picked up after week one, cheap. And we lost Le'Veon Bell. And you think, God, you lose those two, you get killed. But we still have Doug Martin there, who has had a couple bad weeks, mainly because of fumble problems. And Levy Smith doesn't want to play him when he's fumbling. But he's also been good at times. We still have Julio Jones and A.J. Green in that league. We still have Chris Ivory. And we're still the highest scoring team in that league. And despite two key injuries that would kill most teams, because we get enough depth and because we... And the reason we can get away with that is because we're winning with guys like Flacco and Mariota at quarterback, because we're screaming them and didn't need to invest early draft picks in them. We have enough depth that we still have a shot at winning the championship, despite losing our first round pick and our top free agent pickup.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's all about how you view players now, and we have completely changed the way we view players this year. Last year, if we lost a first-round draft pick, it would have been well nigh the end of the world for the team. This year, you know, I don't even care if a first-round draft pick isn't even active. He stays on our roster because he's a first-round draft pick, unless he's injured. But, you know, we're viewing other players like, okay, because all we care about is the matchups. That's it.
It's very, very freeing. And if you're on Twitter, and you've been listening to us through the season, and you know, you've tried to listen to what we're doing, and you've tried to stream a little bit more than you have in the past, seeing that we're having success with it, I'd like to hear from you. If you're having success with it, is it just us? Is it not? Is it the strategy? Is it a fluke on our end? Is it skill on our end? Is it the way that everybody can have success? Obviously, we can't have everybody have success like that, because then we'll start losing. But so that's not what we want. But yeah, I mean, I would love it if you get on Twitter and let us know at We Talk Podcast if anybody has, you know, tried this besides us. And maybe we don't just get more proactive and try and find people who are doing this ourselves anyways out there. Because that is the thing that we don't know is this just us? Or is this everybody who's doing this having success?
Yeah, it is an interesting question, is whether, like, you know, is because the thing is, if streaming worked for everybody, then, well, I kind of wonder why everybody doesn't do it.
Exactly. So what do you say that we get in here and make our picks?
All righty.
I suggest what we do actually this week. Let's go a little bit different this week. This time, let's go and make our picks for best players first. You know the reason why is because I actually have it open, that portion open, a perfect challenge open on the NFL.com.
Fair enough.
and I am just that lazy that I don't want to sign out as one person. I have to sign in as another, which I'd have to do. What we're seeing this week, and I have to say something. By the way, just going to throw this out there. Everybody talks about the best quarterback, and I understand Aaron Rodgers defending league MVP, and he's won a Super Bowl, and, you know, you got Tom Brady, who's won a bunch of Super Bowls, but why nobody ever mentions Cam Newton, it seems, as the best quarterback in football is amazing to me, because he's remarkable.
You know, I think it's just because he manages to have, like, games where he still comes under the radar, like, despite the fact that he'll have a great game, maybe his completion percentage isn't great, maybe he doesn't manage to run for as many yards as you might expect, but, you know, maybe he doesn't throw for enough touchdowns. But
playing in that market is part of it. Yeah, but, and you're right, it's probably he doesn't throw for the yards, the touchdowns, but he does win it in the fourth quarter.
Yes,
And when he has to throw it, he just steps up. The guy wins. He's a winner.
How many people do as much with as little as Cam Newton? Because there is there anybody else in the league who has as little to work with as Cam Newton does?
We had talked about that before. That the guy who, you know, I mean, it was who does more with less? Is it him or Russell Wilson? And Russell Wilson, at least you could always say, well, at least he had a stud running back to take pressure off. I mean, Jonathan Stewart's been pretty good this year, but they're leading the league in rushing, I think, as a team. But a lot of that's Newton. He's no stud running back. He's just a guy who's being decent this year. Like, no question to me, this has proven to me that nobody does more than Cam Newton with less.
And you want to know something else that's interesting is the fact that another huge difference is you look at, like, Pete Carroll was like a high free agent signing kind of thing for the Seattle Seahawks when they brought him out of the college ranks and brought him back into the NFL. I mean, that was a big deal. Ron Rivera was a guy who the Panthers hired because he was cheap, you know, and yet Ron Rivera was this close to getting his ass fired last year. And now, you know, Riverboat Ron's a god again. So, I mean, you know,
he has done a good job, but he hasn't done as good job as Cam Newton has done a good job for him.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
So we're going to move on here. We're going to look at the quarterbacks. The top pick this week so far, and this is the percentage of starters.
Is it starting percentage? Tom Brady?
No, it's actually Aaron Rodgers with the Lions, and I get that.
Yeah, I do get that. That's fair.
Yeah, and Tom Brady is number two. Tom Brady, though, what's funny is Tom Brady is number two, but historically, I don't know, it's kind of Eli who tends to own Tom.
I know, it's true. Like, when we do get to this, it'll be interesting. But, you know, it's like the Giants' pass defense is being so brutal that it's very hard to not like Tom Brady in this case. And, you know, who knows? I mean, maybe there is that always that little bit of revenge factor for Tom going up against the Giants.
Well, but, I think Tom Brady has a chip on his shoulder, and so do all the Patriots this year, and that's hilarious.
Yeah. it's true. They won the Super Bowl, and they have a chip on their shoulder.
But there was a little bit of controversy, and, you know, I mean, I think the best, you know, it's the best thing, don't wake the sleeping Giant. That's the best way you can if you're the rest of the league, don't wake the sleeping Giant. That's the best thing you can do against the Patriots.
To me, Drew Brees is number two.
Oh, yeah. Drew Brees is number three, and Cam Newton is number four, and the Brees has the Redskins, Cam Newton has the Titans, and Andy Dalton, obviously, he has a great matchup as well. Andy, number six actually is Blake Bortles, which is funny to me.
He's come a long way.
He's come a long way, and he's facing the Ravens, who do not have the good defense now. Dalton has the great matchup. My fear on Dalton would be that they're just going to run the ball so much. But then again, I mean, their run game has been, as the season's gone on, become less effective. Bernard has become less effective. We already know Hill struggles, but Bernard has also become less effective as the season has rode on here. I mean, obviously the Texans is a great matchup, and we have a disagreement this week. I was telling you earlier in the week, you know, you're like, we should grab somebody off the waiver wire or something to start at running back. And I was going, well, we got Hill. And you're like, well, yeah, but I hate Hill this, you know? And I'm like, I know, but I love the matchup. And you're like, but I can't stand the player's performance. And it's one of those things where it's like, we're disagree on that. I'm like, I love the matchup. This is where he could break out. And you're like, well, history says he never breaks out. And we're both right.
Yes, exactly. It's very difficult because I can easily see either one of these coming to pass. I tend to err on the side that he's not done a good job of breaking out. Like, frankly, last week should have been a breakout game for him. He scored 6 points. Gio Bernard didn't score that much more. You know, and so the truth is that their offense is not, it doesn't seem to be predicated on either of those two breaking out at this
point. And it is a true running back by committee, which doesn't help either.
Yeah.
But, you know, if that's the case, then if they're not going to run again and you're facing the Texans whose defense is being horrific, then Dalton should be great.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, who do you like of those guys? I mean, Cam Newton, like I say, with the Titans should be terrific. Also, Breeze. I don't think the matchup with the Redskins is as strong, but I think that he's been on fire now. Brady, obviously, and Rodgers.
Well, I think for me, like Brady, because he is number two, he is the guy that I would put as number one. Because, you know, you're going with somebody safe, but at the same time, you're not quite going with that number one pick.
23% of the time he's picked, so, I mean, I have no issues with that.
You know, if I was going to go with the high upside guy that was a little bit lower down on that list, Blake Bortles would probably be the guy.
Yeah, absolutely. So who are you looking at the running backs this week? I'll give you right now the percentages. Todd Gurley is absolutely sick. And 62% of people have picked him as their starting running back. D'Angelo Williams, amazingly, is almost as high at 51%. Then Adrian Peterson, 30%. Of course, this is all skewed a little bit because there's two starting running backs compared to one. And then you have the drop-off. Then you have 11% for DeMarco Murray. Blount at 8.7%, Lamar Miller at 5.4%, you know, Ingram, Martin, Lynch, and McFadden are also on the list. But it's I'm looking for the guy who's that guy who is off the radar who could have a great week. I think Justin Forsett
absolutely could have a great week. I mean, the Jaguars are not great at stopping people. You know, from a sheer volume perspective, and given what the Steelers have to do, I really do think that D'Angelo Williams will have a fantastic week, because they're going to have to protect the quarterback position. They're going to have to run.
They're going to have to run, but the Browns, aren't they going to have 8-9 guys on the box?
You know, maybe they are, but the Browns haven't really chosen or shown that they can that stop too many rushing games. And you know what? D'Angelo Williams has proven time and time again this season that he'll catch the ball out of the backfield.
He's been extremely, much more effective than I ever figured he would be.
100%.
You know, he's been very impressive. Doug Martin, obviously, with the Cowboys, I think has a great matchup. James Starks has another guy who, now the question, the only problem with Starks should have a great matchup with the Lions. The only problem is, I don't believe that they're going to say this is our guy. I just think he'll be more effective than Lacy when he's in there.
Yeah, I mean, Lacy's one of those guys that if you've got him and you have to play him, which I think at some point we do, I think you're hoping that he'll get in there on a goal line carry.
You know, Lacy's only being started in 0.3% of the leagues. I mean, just what a fall.
And that's a first-round draft pick. And that's a high first-round draft pick. That's not like a
low. No, that's like third, fourth overall, you know. Whereas compared to James Starks at 2.4%. Langford has got a horrible matchup, but he showed well on Monday. Chris Ivory, I think that's a nasty matchup with the Bills, unfortunately. Carlos Williams, same thing, nasty matchup in the other direction. He's a guy that tends to get in the end zone. It's an interesting week again, because I don't really know who is the bell cow other than probably Todd Gurley. I look at him and I think, yeah, there's no reason not to pick him. The only reason we would not is because 62% of people already have.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is, if I'm going with the two guys that I feel like the best about, then yeah, it is Todd Gurley and D'Angelo Williams. If I'm going to go away from the pack, then I'm going to go D'Angelo Williams and Justin Forsett.
Justin Forsett. You would go Forsett over Doug Martin, because Martin's, I think Martin has a great week, but yeah, if he fumbles at all, he's not going to see a carry after that.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that is the worry. I don't think Ingram's going to have as good a week as people think. It's kind of DeMarco Murray with the Dolphins theoretically is a good matchup, but I don't know. I'm still not sure about the Eagles. So, I'm very good with taking Williams and Forsett as our picks here this week. And we'll move on to that. Williams and Forsett are going to be locked in, moving us into the wide receiver position. If Tom Terrific, as you called him, I like to call him Terrific Tom myself. And sorry, I'm being a little bit distracted by the dog who's desperate for my attention here. if he's the top quarterback, I mean, you would just think to yourself, okay, one of his receivers then should be the guy.
Yes, and I think one of his receivers may be the guy, and that will be the one that we pick at the tight end position.
well, and that's, again, another thing. I mean, Gronk, I mean, we go with him every week. Last week, he didn't do much.
No, and it's going to happen.
There are some guys who are definitely emerging. I mean, there's no reason to think Eifert won't be spectacular again this week against the Texans, right? I mean, Olsen with the Titans should be a great matchup too. The problem is with as good as Edelman is, and he's in all like top 10 in PPR, maybe even top 5, I think, in points per game. And as great as he's been, any week it could be. I mean, this last week LaFell had a great game, and Amendola could have another great game, and it could be any week. This is the problem you face with the Patriots: is they're so good at using everybody over the course of the season. That any week could be the week where you go, okay, that guy's completely not locked. He's just a decoy. And I'm waiting for the week where Edelman's the decoy. And I feel like that could be this week.
It could very well be. I mean, it's an interesting it's an interesting week for sure. And I you know, I when I look at it, I like a lot of the Patriots receivers, but from a consistency standpoint, they're no good.
No, Edelman has been consistent, and yet you're waiting for him not to be. You know, like you're waiting for that. It's a thing where we own him, we're definitely playing him. But in this situation, I'm not sure I would grab him. Now, we do have Antonio Brown as the number one pick this week, which I know he was awesome last week, but I think that's stupid.
I do too. I mean, you know, he does not have Big Ben throwing to him, and we've seen so far this season that when he does not have Big Ben throwing to him, he's not the same Antonio Brown.
No, and it doesn't matter if it was Vic or now Landry, neither one of them, you know, he's shown any effectiveness with. He caught one great pass where he went for like 40 yards in the fourth quarter from Landry. But, I mean, history says he won't be effective. And people love the matchup, but no, at 41%, I think Brown is actually a strange choice. A.J. Green at 32% is next. Then you got Julian Edelman is at 25%. Dez Bryant, who I do like quite a bit this week with the Bucks, I think he's a nice pick. Odell Beckham Jr., Allen Robinson really coming on, and yeah, I mean, Robinson has been spectacular. Hearns has been great too.
Yeah, you know, if I had to make my two choices, and I mean, you know, Allen Robinson would be one of them, and my other one would actually be Randall Cobb. You know, people are talking. Yeah, people are talking about.
He's a guy we've had on Rodgers. He's a guy we've had on the bench here. Over the last couple of weeks, because he had some bad weeks, and now that he's played himself back in, now we're going to play him again. Now that he's getting hot, I mean, he's definitely. I like Cobb. DeAndre Hopkins is below that, and I also like Hopkins quite a bit this week.
Oh yeah, I mean he's a target monster. So
Sanders and Thomas are right beside each other. The other guy that I like quite a bit this week actually. And Calvin Johnson shouldn't be a bad pick, but I like Stephon Diggs this week. I think he's due for a big game. Brandon Marshall, I think, could have a surprisingly big game against the Bills. Mike Evans is really good. I mean, a lot of these guys are these late guys who are really, really good. I'm having a tough time picking this. I wouldn't mind going with Cobb. But I also wouldn't mind going with one of those deeper guys, you know, Johnson, Diggs, Marshall, Evans, one of those guys as our number two pick here.
It's tough. I mean, Diggs, I like Diggs. I think he's a guy that I might look at in a weekly format, but maybe not quite here. Tough to say though.
You're saying in a daily fantasy.
Yeah, daily fantasy. Hard to say here, DeAndre Hopkins perhaps,
because I Raiders, know he'll be a... The Raiders have proven, you know, susceptible through the air.
Oh, yeah,
Which is why I like him. Is Bridgewater going to be in this week, or is it
going to be Hill? I'm still not sure, 100%, so.
Not sure. Okay, well, let's go with the Robinson, because, again, I think he's a really nice pick. Let's go with the Robinson and Cobb combination then.
All right,
yeah, I didn't see you really jumping on any of those late guys.
DeAndre Hopkins will be great. I mean, it's Monday night and the Bengals are going to score a point, so Hopkins is going to have to.
He's so good, and he's good with Hoyer. He's good. I just see him as garbage time. He's the garbage time king.
Yeah,
so we're gonna stick with Robinson and Cobb later than this week for our top performers. Tight end, like I say, Eifert, it's a great matchup, and Olsen, it's a great matchup, and we're going to go with and Barnett should have McCowan, I think, again throwing for him, and we're gonna go with Gronk.
Yeah, because again, it's a great matchup,
and he's Gronk, and if he had a bad week last week, then he's Gronk.
Yeah, he'll be more likely to have a great week this week.
Do you like Justin Tucker, kicker? I kind of like Tucker.
Tucker should be great. I mean, Tucker's been great all season. Yeah,
he's just a great consistent kicker. Who's the defense you like the most this week? The number one pick is the Panthers, and I get it. I get why the Panthers would be your top pick, though Mariota. He's such a talented guy. I'm not sure I want to pick against him.
I'm not in love with that.
Like I said, I do understand why, but you got the Broncos that are number two, and with the Chiefs definitely have this season given up a lot of points to defenses in fantasy. Then you have the Rams, who I also really like, the Bengals and the Packers, and Pittsburgh is down the list a little bit.
I like the Steelers. I do. I mean, I think that they have a good, strong defense, and they're going to have to rely on their defense if they're going to hope to win that game. I do kind of like the Packers. I think they've got a lot to play for this week after their bit of their defensive meltdown last week, and so I think that could fire them up against the hapless Lions.
Arizona could have a surprisingly good game against Seattle. Yep. The Jets and the Bills, interesting to see how many points are scored overall in that game. So there's a lot of really, again, I think this is actually for streaming fantasy defense. I think you have the Ravens haven't scored much on defense, but there's enough sacks and turnovers given up by the Jaguars that means they should be scoring some points, even though we're picking against them to have a high scoring. But let's go with the Packers. I think that's a really... really solid play. And the lineup is set.
All right.
All right. So I'm just going to sign out of that. And I'm going to sign us into the picks here for this week. And we will go through and do those. And then I think we'll get out of this. I think when we did our complaints and grievances, complaints and grievances. say it for me now.
Complaints and grievances? Yeah.
When we did that a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about guys who annoyed us and things that annoyed us in trading. And as I log in here, I'll give you a chance to talk about one of the things that we didn't get to then. And I don't think we have mentioned it since. Perhaps we have, but I don't think we've mentioned that guy who tries to make 4 billion trades in the season, doesn't seem to be interested at all in setting a lineup, just seems to have fun making trades and kind of how annoying that guy can be.
Yeah, because, you know, we've run into that kind of guy. We usually tend to run into one every season. And he's always the guy who will completely turn over the vast majority of his lineup throughout the season. And he will be the guy who, it doesn't matter what player he has, like, he'll make somewhat insane trades. Like, I mean, they're usually carefully balanced. But he will do his best to turn over his entire team. And he's constantly on you like, oh, here's my newest trade offer. Here's my newest trade offer. Have you considered this trade offer? And it's to everybody. And those guys do drive me nuts.
Yeah, those guys seem to run into. Well, the thing about that gets me is sometimes they win those trades. Sometimes they lose those trades. They never seem to come out ahead, though. And the main reason they never seem to come out ahead, though, is because they always end up seeming... to end up in difficult buy situations later down the road because they've made so many trades that they find a couple of their guys without even realizing it are all of a sudden leaving them without a solid running back. All of a sudden they're down to their RB4 and stuff like that.
I've never seen one
make a playoffs.
Even. Yeah, exactly. They never
win a championship. Maybe I've seen one win make a playoffs now that I think about it. I don't think I've ever seen one win a championship, though. All right, let's go into the weekly pick'em, and we're going to open it up here with arguably the most anticipated game of the week, oddly. The Buffalo Bills on the road with the New York Jets. What do you think is going to happen here? How many points do you think is going to be scored? Who do you think is going to be fantasy relevant?
Well, in this case, you know, I actually think it's going to be a fairly high scoring game, which is probably against a lot of people, given that these are two of the best defenses, at least one of the best defenses and the Bills. And when I look at it, though, I think that the Bills are, I don't know who's going to be fantasy relevant for the Bills because they do a good job of spreading it around. Sammy Watkins could be for sure.
If he's healthy.
Tyrod Taylor should be.
I think you can safely play Taylor this week.
But I think that when it comes to the Jets, you know, Brandon Marshall, like you said, Chris Ivory's interesting. He's a tough call. They're gonna do their best to stop him, no question. And then they're probably gonna try to force Fitzpatrick to beat them. And in this case, you know, not only do I hope he does, but I actually kind of expect him to. Although, in fairness, with me making my pick, I am going to pick the Bills.
You're picking the Bills on the road, and I think that's interesting. I actually, tell you the truth, I'm also favoring the Bills on the road. It's a really crazy, it's a crazy, crazy game, though. I mean, Rex Ryan's such a jackass. But I mean, some people love him for the things that he's doing, but it's incredible to me. But yeah, I mean, I like you said, I mean, we were talking about this earlier. It's like, we almost wish it could be Geno Smith in there to and just to light him up, because that would just be very poetic
justice. Yeah.
But that's not going to happen. I actually think I wouldn't say Fitzpatrick is my top stream pick at quarterback, but if you, I don't think we'll be playing him, because I think there'll be other streams that are better. But if you're not a guy who's streaming, if you have a guy who's a top quarterback and this is his week on bye and you're looking for that guy, I think you can feel comfortable with Fitzpatrick. But Marshall, to me, is the most Marshall and Taylor are the two guys from a fantasy perspective that I would really look at this week. This week, for sure. Jaguars and Ravens.
Well, I mean, there's so much
you
fantasy.
Got 2-6, you got a 2-6 team against a 2-6 team, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you would have expected that with one side, but you would not expect that with the other side. And in this case, I mean, I love Robinson. I love Hearns. You know, I probably don't love Yeldon so much. I don't know who the hell is going to be catching balls for Baltimore, but I love Flacco. I love Bortles. There's so much to...
That's why I like Forsett. I think he catches a ton this week.
Yeah, Forsett, absolutely. Ultimately, when I, you know, it's really hard. I'm going with the Ravens.
I'm going to go with the Ravens as well. I'd agree on that. So we got the Browns and the Steelers. 2-7 at 5-4. The Steelers are not the same team without with the two of their top three players or hurt. It's, you know, I mean, if you have a great quarterback, a great running back, and a great receiver, your history has proven, if you're like the Cowboys as an example, you can ride that all the way to Super Bowls back in the day. And they seem to have that. And now, you know, I mean, I think Big Ben will be come back soon. I think he only misses one game. But, you know, for me, I looked at the Browns many times this year. I thought they're poised to make it. They're looking to step it up. McCowan seems to suiting that offense very well. Their defense is better than I thought. I picked them, I think, three or four times this year to pull off an upset. I think they've only pulled off one, because they've only won two games. Like, this is a bad football team. They're going to lose this week.
You know, the thing is that I want them to win. I like the Browns. They're a classic underdog story in this case. And I like Josh McCown, but, you know, there is no way that they can really beat the Steelers unless Josh McCown is in the game and at his best, and Landry Jones is at his worst. But I just don't see it happening.
It's weird because the guys who I'm looking at, I mean, obviously Williams, but other than that, I mean, McCown, maybe, Barnage for sure should have a huge game.
That's if McCown plays, because if McCown doesn't play, then I don't expect Barnage.
Even then, he should have against the Steelers. Man, they've been so bad all season long against the tight end. He should be the key to their offense this week. Should be being the key part.
He should be, absolutely. But yeah.
Here comes the Bears, who early in the season you said you thought were the worst team in football, proving that they aren't at 3-5. Plus, three of their losses have come by less than a touchdown. Against the Rams, who are 4-4, and the Bears, I should say, but they're also some of the wins are by less than a touchdown too. So,
yeah,
the Bears, at least they're competitive.
Yeah, the Bears are not the worst team in football, but nor are they the best. And the Rams are looking, you know, more and more just like a team of averageness. And you know, the real question for me is how much can Todd Gurley take the team and put them on his back, because that's the only way the Rams
will get. Well, they have Gurley, but they also have that defense. But is Wes Welker going to make a difference? No.
No.
Let's face it. Nick Foles is killing him. He's thrown for 200 yards in the first game of the season. And he hasn't thrown since. You know, we're talking 2 months without 200 yards in the modern day NFL, where people are throwing for 400 or 500 yards and 5,000 yard seasons, and the rules have changed. I mean,
well,
they're going nowhere with him.
To give you an example, you know, in NFL, like Nick Foles has 98 points. Colin Kaepernick, who has been, you know, pretty much most people will agree, an unmitigated disaster, has 124 points.
Yeah, that's amazing. And, you know, you realize that they'd be better off with Hill. Like, seriously.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
who was that guy? Who was that guy they threw in last year for just a couple games who played for them? I can't remember his name.
Oh, Austin Davis?
Yeah. They'd be better off with Austin Davis as far as having a guy who at least is going to throw downfield and challenge the other team's defense. And, yeah, he might, you know, have some mistakes and some turnovers, but at least he's also going to. He's going to provide a spark. But yeah, like you say, it's all on Gurley. Do you see the Bears winning, though? I don't. I still see the Rams winning.
It's the Rams at home, so I'm going to go with the Rams. But I can see the Bears winning, but it's the Rams at home.
Well, I just think without Forte again, as good as Langford was, not against this defense. The Dolphins are in the road 3-5 to the Eagles. 4-4, total pick'em.
It is a total pick'em, but I think that the Dolphins, you know, I think the wheels have kind of come off of Dan Campbell's, you know, style, and the Dolphins just, you know, they had that lift, and that was it. You know, after those two games, they came back crashing back down to earth. And I think the Eagles are a team that they're kind of picking up their stride. And so, to me,
I think that they got a gift against a team with all these injuries whose season has fallen apart last week in the Cowboys, and still barely could beat them and had to go to overtime.
Well, you know what? There's been a lot of games that have gone to overtime that are crazy this year. And I'm not saying the Eagles are a good team. I mean, are they Super Bowl bound? Hell no. But the truth is, are the Dolphins? Hell no. Do I think the Eagles can beat the Dolphins? Hell yes.
See, I like the Dolphins this week, though. I'll tell you one thing I think is going to happen. I think this is going to be a really high-scoring game, and I think that you're going to be able to play fantasy players all over the board. You know, I mean, even the defenses could be good. There could be tons of turnovers, like, despite a high-scoring game. But Matthews, Murray... Matthews, the receiver, not the running back. You know, Tannehill, Landry. I think all these guys are just Ertz. Yeah, I just think that Miller, I think they're all going to have big games. I see a really high-scoring game with both teams getting into the 30-point range. We got the Saints against the Redskins. 4-5 at 3-5. The Redskins were poised going into after a big win going into their bye to do something, and it just doesn't look like it's going to happen. The Saints, on the other hand, looked like they were poised to do something and then lost at home to the Titans and their rookie quarterback. Consistency is not something with either one of these teams you can count on, making this a really difficult game. The Saints should have more talent, though. But if you're looking at based on talent, yeah. More words about that Peyton is going to be leaving. This is another tough one.
Yeah, I really struggle with this one because I'm amazed when the Redskins win a game, period. Because I don't think they're a good football team at all. The Saints, on the other side of the coin, have proven that they can play with some of the better football teams in the National Football League, but they can also not play with some of the worst football teams in the National Football League. And that's where it really comes down to me. Like, this one could wind up being a blowout by the Saints, Or it could wind up being like a 23-20 game for the Redskins. Ultimately, I'm going to pick the Saints, but yeah, I can see the Redskins beating them, even though they shouldn't.
But play Snead, play Cooks, play Watson, play Ingram, play everybody on the Saints. And you know, on the other side, if you need to stream Cousins, do it. Play Reed for sure. I think this could be Deshaun Jackson's breakout game. Interesting. I would just avoid the running backs and for the Redskins. But other than that, this is an interesting matchup. Here's one that should be a blowout. Here's one where we should finally go, this isn't a toss-up, this isn't tough. 1-7 Lions on the road to the 6-2 Packers, who the Packers, they're going to be pissed.
Yeah, the Packers.
Do they drop a 40 burger?
Yeah, the Packers could easily drop a 40 burger in this case. Hell, they could potentially drop a 50 burger against the Lions. The big question for me is actually not how many points the Packers score, it's how many points the Lions can manage to score against the Packers defense. Because the only points that they're getting, I think, are from garbage time for the most part.
But there could be garbage time, which could make some fantasy relevant in some degree. Like I said, I think I could see Calvin Johnson having a big game. I think the entire offense runs around him, and he could have a huge game. And the only other guy who I think you could consider there is maybe Theo Riddick catching some balls if you're in a PPR. Other than that, just avoid Lions and play all the Packers you can.
No Matt Stafford.
2-6 Cowboys, 3-5 Bucks.
Yeah, I never would have pegged this one going into it that the Cowboys would have been 2-6 and that the Bucks would be would have a game over them. And in fairness, looking at the Bucks, you know, they're not a good team, but the Cowboys are worse. You know, the only thing that could save the Cowboys is Dez Bryant, really. But the Buccaneers are, I think they're better than the Cowboys right now.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, Evans and is Evans and Martin versus McFadden and Bryant, really. And as I look at that, that's pretty close, actually.
It is pretty close. I mean, close. McFadden is proving that he can run a go against some of the best teams in the National Football League and still collect yards. So I think McFadden's going to be a strong play this week. And Martin should be a strong play this week. Des Bryant, of course, should be, and so should Mike Evans. So, you know, obviously you're not touching Matt Cassel with a 10-foot pole. Jameis Winston, though, could be a worthy stream.
He could be a worthy stream. I think the Buccaneers will win this game, but I look at Bryant and McFadden versus Martin and Evans, and I go, if I just look at those positions, and I go, if the game's on the line between these guys, I don't know which one of those pairings is better. It's pretty even, which is saying something, actually. The 8-0 Panthers are against the 2-6 Titans, and yet the Panthers aren't going to go 16-0.
No, they're not.
Is this it?
Yeah, on paper, you know, this isn't close. But, and you know,
the Panthers... Isn't this one of those trap games?
It absolutely is. You know, the Titans coming off a big win against the Saints. Marcus Mariota looking really good. The Panthers, you know, coming off their win. Oh, it's you know, the Panthers should win, but...
I think the coaching change helped the Titans at least in that first week. I kind of think the Titans might pull it off.
You know, yeah, my
do I pick it though?
Yeah, my gut kind of says Titans, but my head says Panthers, and I'm going with my head right now until the Panthers lose.
You're right. We're gonna go with the Panthers. I'm thinking a lower scoring game though.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think Marcus Mariota or Cam Newton come close to 4 touchdowns this week.
Cam Newton will probably rush for like pass for 200 and a touchdown and rush for like 60 and a touchdown, make him fantasy relevant. Not spectacular, but fantasy relevant at least. But I still like Olsen this week quite a bit. But he's the only guy. Olsen, and you know what? And I'll go with that Panthers defense for sure. The Vikings at 6-2 are facing the surprising 4-4 Raiders, coming off a heartbreaking loss.
really tough for me. I mean, I'm surprised that the Vikings are as good as they are, but they play in a pretty average division, except for
they're the most under the radar team of all.
Yeah, they absolutely are. You know, the Raiders have surprised a lot of teams. I'm going with the Raiders.
Me too.
You know, mostly because they're at home and because, you know, on offense, I do think they're better than the Vikings. And, of course, if Teddy Bridgewater doesn't play, then I'm really going with the Raiders.
It's funny, though, because, I mean, Murray might not play for the Oakland. If you look at it, if you look at Bridgewater, Peterson, Diggs, you would though say that's – I think I would still say that's better than Carr, Cooper, and Murray.
I don't think I would. I think that you know, Peterson accounts for a lot, but Carr and Cooper are top notch.
So the Patriots are against the Giants, 5-4. The Giants surprising 5-4. Man, if the Giants won this game, that could be enough to push them on to winning their division, to winning the NFC East.
Oh,
I don't see them winning this game though.
I don't either. I mean, the NFC East is a comedy of errors this year. I mean, every one of those teams, it's almost like they're fighting to not win the division. You know, the Patriots are a significantly better team than the Giants this year, but they have had their problems with the Giants. But, you know, again,
the thing is, though, is the Giants have beat them in the past in the Super Bowls. Both times they got hot. They're not getting hot this year. They're winning one, they're losing one. They're winning one, they're losing one. If Eli's not getting hot, they're not beating the Patriots. The Patriots are just so damn consistent. And the Giants, you know what? I just don't think if you're using four running backs and can't decide on one, you're ever going to win anything.
No. I mean, I can't go away from the Patriots. In fact, it should be a blowout.
So here's a game I think is much more interesting than it appears on paper. 3-5 Chiefs against the 7-1 Broncos.
I mean, obviously I can't choose against the Broncos, but you know, I can see where you're coming from. There is no doubt that the Chiefs, when the Chiefs want to play, they can play.
I think that their defense is starting to come on. I think that they're offensively, they're starting to develop a persona, an identity, an offensive identity. It's not the best offense in the league, but at least I think they know what they are now. But I definitely think they're and I think that the Broncos definitely just got exposed by the Colts. Colts show just how you beat them. I mean, you got to pick the Broncos, but I think it's going to be close. And would I be surprised if the Chiefs won? I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, the funny thing is, I wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs won. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a close game. But at the same time, I would also not be surprised to see the Broncos come out and completely destroy them.
All right, the Cardinals against the Seahawks. It's Cardinals are 6-2. They're really good, very consistent. They've lost one game they should have won this season. Other than that, they've been extremely consistent. The Seahawks, on the other hand, are not consistent, but they are at home and they're coming off a bye. So for me, the arrow's pointing towards the Seahawks, though the Cardinals have beat them on the road before, and they are, I think, the better team.
Yeah, I mean, just from that perspective, I'm going with the Cards because I do think they're a better team, and I don't think the Seahawks have figured out their identity, and I don't know that they will this season. But you know, here's the thing: if the Seahawks take this game could be the game that spurs them on to becoming their usual selves.
This is for me. If they win this, they have a good chance to still win the NFC West. Because they'd be 5-4 and the Cardinals would be 6-3. The Cardinals win this, you can hand the NFC West to them. So this is actually a huge game. The funny thing about this game is, for me, I don't want to touch anybody. I mean, anybody.
Yeah, it's very
true. Not one
player,
not Graham, not Lynch, not Wilson, not Palmer, not Fitzgerald, Brown. Johnson, I don't want to touch anybody. I do not want to touch the kickers. Both teams' kickers I would play in fantasy.
Although, in fairness, they may very well only score like, each team could literally score like 6 points.
Oh, it could be, but it could very well be a 12-9 game. You know?
Yes.
Like, I do not want the kickers as the only guys I would consider picking. Even the defenses, as much as I'm talking about a low-scoring game, I'm not confident enough it'll be low-scoring. Because I can't get a read on if it'll be high-scoring, low-scoring. I can't get a read on this game at all, so I just want to avoid it. Whereas, I mean, you get something like the Chiefs and the Broncos. If people want to play, if people want to play the Mark Thomas and Sanders and they think they're great, I get it. And if you're scared by the Chiefs, I'm scared by everybody in the Chiefs, except for the defense who I would play. You know, like at least I know who I would play in these games. I mean, it may not be a great pick, but at least I believe the Chiefs defense could be a really good pick. Here I have no clue.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one, and and it could go any way.
All right, we're into our last pick. The Texans 3-5 against the Bengals 8-0. Over and under about how much the Bengals win by.
Oof. Let's see now. If it let's say 30.
It might not be quite that much, but I think 3 touchdowns is very, very likely. I'll say 17. I'll say they'll win by 17. You know what I think? I think Hoyer will get some garbage time. I think if you want to stream a quarterback, Hoyer will be a great stream if he's on the waivers, because he's going to get garbage time. Hopkins will get garbage time. The problem with the Bengals is they could spread it around so that nobody really stands out. Everybody could be fantasy, could be like every wide receiver could be a wide receiver 3. Every running back could be a running back 3. You know, it could be spread out where everybody has a little bit of something. And so they're good enough that you kind of could play them, but you can't win off them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I love the Bengals. I mean, they're at home. Everything points to them. But you're right. They could literally have a whole bunch of fantasy irrelevant plays.
Yeah. All right. I think that's about it. We're OUT on the sucker again. You can reach us if you want to give us any feedback. Please do so on our Twitter at WeTalkPodcast.com. If you do care to email us, you can just send it to info@WeTalkPodcast. We check that somewhat often. Well, okay, semi-irregularly, but we do check it. And, of course, we're on Facebook at Facebook.com/WeTalkPodcasts. Anything else you want to say, Brent?
Well, I'm going to go up with what you usually say. We'll see you and we'll beat you.
Oh, no, that's always you.